Are you anxious? Stressed? Mind racing? Do you have trouble sleeping? Are you looking for secrets to peace and a happier life? Join Spiwe Jefferson, certified mindfulness practitioner and lawyer, dedicated to helping you learn to apply mindfulness meditation to the personal and professional challenges of everyday life. Harness the power of mindfulness meditation to live and work to your highest and best purpose, starting with just 5 minutes a day.
Hi, and welcome to Mindful in 5, where we learn how to apply mindfulness and meditation to the challenges of everyday life in bite-sized episodes for people with no time. My name is Spiwe Jefferson, and today we have a guest who will share with us his best coping mechanisms over the past year. And what a year it has been! Hi, Scott, and welcome to Mindful in 5.
Hi, Spiwe.
What would you like us to know about you?
I would say that I go through the same stuff that everybody else does.
For those of you who are new to this podcast, we have two tracks for email subscribers, the Classic Edition and the God Lovers Edition, for people who want to invite God into their mindfulness meditation practice. No judgment either way. So, Scott, are you a member of Team Classic or are you a member of Team God Lovers?
I am a member of Team God Lovers.
All right. So when we were talking about doing this episode, Scott, you sent me a note saying, as I was making this up, I realized how contrary my thoughts really are. I want control over my life, but that is an illusion because I really don't have control. All I can do is to keep steering the car. What do you mean by steering the car?
When I say that, what I'm talking about is the fact that you have to be in motion in some way. You have to make decisions in some way to move forward. Because if you just sit and say something has to happen, nothing will happen. You're kind of getting cooked in that spot, if you will. And as Zig Ziglar used to say, you get cooked in the squat.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, you get cooked in the squat. You and me both, Zig Ziglar. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, okay, I like that. And I think one of the statements that resonates with you as well is start with the beginner's mind. What does that mean?
A beginner's mind is always open. It's going back to being a child, if you will, and accepting and looking at everything the way it comes to you and just not judging everything right away. Because as we grow, we start judging things. Oh, that's good, or oh, that's bad, or that shouldn't be that way. And the beginner's mind allows you to be able to take it for what it is.
Okay. And how has that helped you in your life as we're talking about coping mechanisms? What does that look like in application?
It allows me not to get in my own way by making judgments. An example of that was when I lived in Green Bay, I was doing sales and I talked to a gentleman at his home and he said, I'm going to bring the internet to Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I said, wow, that's incredible. What is the internet? And, of course, the internet wasn't around at that time.
That was back when we were all wondering, www, what is that?
And when I left, I said, oh, that guy's just crazy. It'll never happen. That's just nothing. And, of course, he's a millionaire right now, and I'm not. So at that time, I was not using the beginner's mind, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of your other tools is Aikido. And how do you use that for coping?
Long time ago, I took Aikido as a martial art. And what I noticed is it was not about stopping the person coming at you. It was more about letting them flow past you. You're not meant to take the blow. You're meant to let it pass you. Like Steven Seagal is a big Aikido guy. And what happens in Aikido is your attacker, basically, as they keep on attacking you, they lose their breath or their excitement about it, and they're just exhausted in the end. And I thought that was really incredible. And it allows you to dance with somebody instead of accepting the power of the punch, if you will. And it allows you to both get along and dance together and make something happen.
Well, I haven't watched Steven Seagal in years.
Yeah.
And I just thought he was a great fighter. But now that I have like the strategy, I'm going to have to go back and watch. One of the other coping mechanisms that you use is the idea that the mind is a reflex organ. What does that mean?
What I learned a while ago is that your mind kind of does whatever it wants. It's not, you think of your mind as making decisions for you, but your mind doesn't do that. You make the decisions. Mm-hmm. When people talk to you and say, you can choose to do something about this or you can let it go.
Yep.
That's the difference between being taking control of your mind and letting it just happen. And if you take control of your mind and stop all those old voices from talking from your past and all those experiences that were not good for you, or and make your own decisions. Just because something happened a long time ago does not mean that it means the same thing. So when people are not listening to their mind, or if they are listening to their mind, they're basically saying, oh, I'm going to go out and retaliate because this is what I need to do right now, because otherwise I'm going to be disrespected. Well, if they would just take the moment to let it go and pass by, they can make a conscious decision. Do I need to do this, or do I want to do this, or would it be better if I did not?
Well, you know, I think that one of the sort of fundamental tenets of mindfulness is to separate your emotions, your sensations from your awareness, right? And sometimes people, as you say, you know, we act in reflex, or we get so consumed by the emotion. It's like when somebody says, oh, I'm so angry, you know, and it consumes all of you, as opposed to separating yourself and saying, oh, I see anger there. And what does that feel like inside me, right? So my body's hot and I'm tense, and do I really choose to respond this way in this moment, or, and what's it going to get me?
And it's especially true right now because of COVID, because everybody thinks, I've been dealing with all this stress and I'm just going to project that out. And when that happens, it doesn't serve you. And my thoughts are that if it doesn't serve you, why do you continue to do it? Why do you continue to use it?
Well, to your point earlier about, you know, I have to do this and I have to retaliate because otherwise I'll be disrespected. Sometimes people say, because I had no choice.
Right.
And I think, and I think you'll agree with this, that actually there's always a choice of at least two things. And sometimes when people say, I have no choice, what they're really saying is, I so dislike the other choice,
right?
Because the choice is, I can choose not to retaliate, or I can retaliate. So if I say, I had to retaliate because I had no choice, what I'm saying is, I so disliked not retaliating, and I so disliked all the judgments that I wrapped around not retaliating that I just pretended that wasn't even an option.
Right. So it's all those old voices in your head saying, if you don't take care of this disrespect, you are going to go down a bad road that you don't want to do.
Yep.
Instead of looking at it for what it really is, of if I address this in another way, that's a whole different way. And quite truthfully, we get caught up in that mind of, if this happens, then that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not that kind of world.
And that leads us right into your next coping mechanism, which involves being a victim. Share with us what that means to you.
Being a victim to me is rather fun in a way, because we go through life just accepting people and they say, oh, you poor thing. Oh, and they give you all this love and attention. And it's just so wonderful to get. But the fact is, does it really serve you? Because some people are giving you that, but are they helping you move forward?
Mm.
Is that giving you what you need to move forward? Are you stuck there, which is a really easy place to stay? I could say I am a cancer survivor, and everybody goes, oh, you poor thing. Yeah, I had it, and there's a possibility I'll get it. But in the meantime, I'm going to live my life to the fullest. That's what matters. That's the difference of being a victim or not being a victim.
Yeah. Are you really a cancer survivor?
I am.
Did I know that?
You might have. I don't talk about it that much.
I don't think you do. I don't think. I was like, really? Is that an example? Or did that, is that like a real thing? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you sure don't. You sure don't talk about it much.
Because I don't want to be the victim of, oh, you poor thing. Oh, what happened? And then go into that whole poor pity party. And that, again, it feels wonderful to talk about it and to get that. But does it really serve me?
How does it move you forward in this moment? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. And how exactly. do you do that when you encounter some, you know, dark spot in your life where this thing happened that you cannot control, right? So you lose a parent, you get diagnosed with something that is out of your control, or, you know, you lose a job.
Or your mind just goes crazy because it's just... nothing is happening to engage it. And all of a sudden it becomes, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? Then it's turning on the news. Oh, my goodness, so much is happening.
Yeah.
And then it becomes, oh, my life is turning completely around. There's nothing to be happy about. And that's totally, it doesn't serve you at all.
It spirals. And I think your view is that actually we should be thankful. Thank God for the challenges in your life. And I hear that and I get it, but I think we probably have a lot of listeners who'd be like, what? Why on earth should we be happy about the challenges? After all, they can be really hard and stretch us beyond what we think we can endure. So, Scott, why? Tell us.
Absolutely. The challenge is, and this is something that, again, I had to learn, is right away we jump into that, oh, the challenge is bad. Change is bad. So when we do that, again, it doesn't help us move forward. And what I'll do is I'll talk about a couple of things here that helped me get through some challenges that I looked at first as challenges and said, okay, so what if I change things a little bit? And what happened is, I'll tell you a quick story.
We love stories here. I love stories. Go ahead.
We lived in Green Bay, and I lost my job. It was during the 2008 recession. It was just a bad time for me. And I decided to go back to school, got my bachelor's degree. That was all fine. And then it was like, okay, now I got to find a job. And it was only 2010, so it wasn't really ramping up. So eventually, my friend and mentor offered me a job as working with him selling TV advertising. And I thought, okay, I actually fought against him. I said, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'm tired of sales. I just don't want to have... And he just kept on coming back to me, Scott, if you just do this for 2 days out of the week, I'll give you money for it. Everything will be great. I said, okay.
Fine.
I give up.
Okay.
We've all been there, right?
Yes. Drag me along by the throat. Sure, sure. Here I come. Okay.
So what I did is I worked with him for those 2 days, and he basically said, here's the phone. Set up some appointments for me. And so I did, and I started setting up about 6 to 8 appointments a week. And he came to me and he said, Scott, you are crushing it.
Wow.
And you are getting more appointments than I've ever seen before. And I said, oh, that's great. Okay. And he said, no, you don't understand. Nobody does this like you do. And I'm like, okay, I just don't. Huh. I'm just doing what I thought I needed to do. Well, he said, I think you'd be great in this business. And I said, okay. Well, he said, but you can't work here. And I said, why not? And he said, because then you'd meet my competition, and I don't want that.
Oh.
And so he said, what I would suggest is you go to a smaller market and work. And I said, okay. So I started looking for a job outside of the area. And
wait, why didn't you just stay there?
I was just working with him, and it was fine, but it was time for me to move on.
Okay.
And so what I did is I got a job offer in La Crosse and went to my wife and I said, okay, so what do you think about moving to La Crosse? She said, okay. So we moved to La Crosse. Never been there, but we moved there. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. It was also had a lot of challenges. And when I was there, I found a scripture that really resonated with me. And the scripture was in Genesis, and it was talking about the four lessons from Abraham's life and how Abraham went on a journey that God told him to take. Mm-hmm. And what he did is he stopped halfway there.
Did he?
He did.
Oh.
He stopped in Haran.
Yes.
Okay. So what I felt like...
And that wasn't where he was supposed to go.
It wasn't where he was supposed to go. And so what happened is everything kind of kept on piling up on him, and God made it a little tougher for him to be in Haran. Well, that's the same thing that happened to me in La Crosse.
Oh.
So I'm not saying that I am Abraham or anything like that, but what I'm saying is that these were all challenges I was looking at and saying, how can I get out of this, God? What can I do? And I knew I had to be somewhere else, but I didn't know where.
Okay.
And I didn't want to go backwards. And so backwards to me was to go back to Green Bay, because I just felt like it was really enlightening to go to another city.
Yep.
Well, my girls were up in La Crosse, and our girls. And what they said was, well, if you want to get a job, why don't you come on up here? I'm like, oh, no, not the cities. Too big for me. I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's a small town to me. Mm-hmm. And so my wife lost her job. I lost my job. And said, hey, we're packing the bags to go to the cities.
God was like, off you go. Let me make it easy for you.
Exactly. And what happened is I got to the cities, and it was just a whole nother world. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love it. I've loved it ever since.
When did you move here?
2 years ago.
You've only been here for 2 years?
2 years.
I've known you for longer than 2 years. Yep. Yep. Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Wow, I feel like I've known you forever. It's only been 2 years?
Only been 2 years.
Oh my gosh, you know how you meet people and you feel like you've been friends forever?
Yes.
That must be it.
Yes, it has to be, because you and I have deep, deep discussions about stuff, and that touches my heart. I love doing that.
Yeah.
And because of the fact that it's not that sitting around the fire and drinking beers and that kind of stuff is not good. I just like to get a little deeper because I want to get better, and I want to learn more.
Yeah.
I want to drink that up.
Oh, interesting. Interesting, interesting. Well, gosh, you know, I love your view, because what it also embraces is this idea that, you know, where you talk about how we are so quick to judge things, and mindfulness is really about not judging the thing. And in the moment, it's easy to say, oh, this happened, this is bad, or oh, this happened, this is good. But when you look at the intricacy with which life sort of unravels,
right,
and when you see the full measure of a, you know, a picture and the dominoes that have sort of lined up to get you to a particular place, it's really difficult, I think, to label something as this was bad or this was good, because what you realize is all of it is a contributing factor to your growth and to lead you. Sometimes I think of it as following the breadcrumbs of life, right? So it's like God drops these breadcrumbs and you're like, I don't want to go. And then he like kicks you out the door and you're like, ooh, I guess I'm going. And
okay, God, you and me, right?
All right, so I'm going to go to the cities, but you better have something there waiting for me, because I didn't even want to go there. And then you get there and you're like, oh, this is nice.
It's kind of like that Bill Cosby thing where he does a skit about Noah's Ark, and he says, Noah, and he's looking around, and he says, who's that? He said, it's God. I want you to build an ark. He goes, right.
Sure.
Then when it starts raining, he goes, okay, Lord, you and me, right?
Oh, right, yes. We're going to build it. Yes, I think that's right. And so I think being mindful really is just being in tune enough with your inner compass. Right. Also, that you don't get so sort of tossed this way and that by the externalities, the things that happen, because you recognize that at the end of the day, especially if you're a God lover, right, God is your anchor. And mm-hmm. wherever you go, as long as he's there with you, you'll be fine, even if it's the place that you never anticipated that you were actually going to end up.
And this is the beautiful part of about what you do, Speedway, is you allow people to take that moment and say, instead of reacting, what can I do?
Yeah.
Instead of saying yes or no right away, I can take that moment to pause. Mm-hmm. And basically in that moment, say, okay, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like the story of the man on a farm, and he was in a third world country, and he was doing so well, and all the people around him said, oh, you're so blessed. You have all this great stuff. You have all this great equipment, a couple of cows. You're all good.
That's good.
And he said, yep, we'll see. Well, then the famine came and the war came, mm-hmm. and he was like, okay, I lost all the equipment and the crops went away. Uh-huh. And, of course, he could have thrown it all in, but he didn't. He just kept on moving forward. Mm-hmm. And everybody said, oh, you're so blessed. You have this son and he can help you on the farm. And he said, we'll see. And then the army came and they enrolled his son into the army. And so his son had to go into the service. And what that shows you is, instead of making those judgments right away, mm-hmm. to say, we'll see. And then taking that moment, not to judge it, but let it sink in. And if you let it sink in, and what you're talking about with the being mindful in five, it allows you to take that deep breath.
Yeah.
And that, does this really mean, what does this really mean? And if I don't know, that's okay right now.
Yeah.
But it allows me to make decisions for myself to move forward. Because going back to that reflex organ, the first thing that's going to happen is, oh my gosh, no.
Yeah, this terrible thing has happened. This
exactly.
is so awful, which is probably what his neighbors were thinking, right? Oh my goodness, I can't believe your son was sent off to war. This is terrible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when bad things happen, I don't go to the extreme of saying, great, because that would be a little crazy to me still.
Yeah.
But I just say, we'll see.
Yeah. And then you see, and then you're like, I wouldn't have changed that.
Right.
In the end, because now I am here and I am who I am because all these things happened.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, based on our discussion today, what would you suggest our listeners do that they might not be doing already, whether it's an action or a change in perspective?
I think it's really a matter of doing the Mindful in Five exercises, getting centered, and allows you to make better decisions for yourself. And through that calmness, you'll have people all around you that notice a difference about you. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice it yourself because you're not reacting right away. And you become more of a center for them. And they'll ask you more questions of, why are you so calm during all this stuff? And it allows you to share and say, that's because I don't react. I don't jump up and something bad happens and say, oh my gosh, this is a terrible thing. And it's and spiral. You don't hear the drama from people that are centered. And that's what I would say, is really look at what it could do for you.
Yeah. And, you know, for the listeners who don't know, so Mindful in Five actually is a couple of things. There is a book that is going to be out on Amazon
And it's called Mindful in Five. Yes. And it's really about taking 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, just start with 5 minutes, to sit in stillness every morning and center yourself for your day and your life. And it's 5 minutes because, let's face it, who has time? And so I have been doing it for years, and I have had people say just the thing, right? I had a boss who said to me, wow, you're unflappable. And I'm a lawyer, so unflappable is kind of good when you're a lawyer, because the one thing we do is we are paid to deal with crises. And yeah. It's I think it's comforting sometimes for people when the lawyer isn't running around like, oh, gosh, what are we going to do? And really, it's that mindfulness. And so if you were to sort of recap these coping tools that you've given us, these six fabulous tools, I think at the end of the day, at least what I took away is that, you know, in the space of being silent and the space of just taking time for yourself, it really does give you the opportunity to just go inward and be intentional about the kind of energy that you are putting out, the kind of energy that you are allowing to sort of, you know, rumble around inside your head. And, you know, to the extent that a lot of us have, you know, the mind races and we sort of go from this to this to this, something bad that we claim is bad happens to us or somebody slights us, we tend to like ruminate and it goes around and around. And I think pausing, which you've said in a couple of different ways, and applying these concepts that you provided, really then allows you to be more purposeful in how you choose to respond, as opposed to what you said earlier, right? When you said, you know, sometimes people just react to things. And there's a difference between reacting to something and responding to something. And part of it, I think, is about the intentionality and really just thinking about what is the benefit I get from doing this thing. Maybe in the short term, somebody feels sorry for me because I, you know, we all go through stuff, right? I say my thing and people go, oh, I'm so sorry. And maybe there's a short-term benefit, but long-term,
right?
How does that really serve you?
And here's the thing, that it's going to be hard for anybody to jump right into it because they're going to want that peace right away. But the fact is that it's going to take, like everything else, a little bit of time to work. And like you said, if you start with the 5 minutes of just sitting and stopping your brain from going and all the voices in your head and all of that stuff going on, it allows you to quiet that voice and allows you to settle down and make decisions on purpose.
Yes.
Instead of letting things happen to you for your entire life.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. So, Scott, thank you so much for sharing your best coping mechanisms over the past year. I have found them to be insightful and useful, and I hope that our listeners have as well.
Me too.
Friends, if you have Gret, well, we're going to use them. So, if you have graduated to what I call mindful ninja status by getting the weekly emails, give yourself the luxury of time by using the 5-day, 5-minute meditations this week to examine ways that you can harness the power of mindfulness to improve your coping skills. And baked in there, you will find ways that you can use the tools that Scott has just talked about. If you are not a Mindful Ninja yet, join us by signing up in the notes for this podcast. You will immediately receive a proven 5-step toolkit to jumpstart your meditation practice, in addition to a new guided meditation each month and invitations to meditation sessions live with me and members of our Mindful in 5 community. Until next time, this is BY saying be mindful and be well.
And then there's me that says, do it now! Change your life, buddy!
Change your life, do it now! Oh, funny.
Thank you for listening to Mindful in 5. Join the Mindful in 5 community at www.mindfulin5.com to sign up for the weekly companion emails to this podcast, which include a new guided meditation each month and 5-day, 5-minute meditations to supercharge your journey towards inner peace and success. Visit the Instagram page at Mindful in 5 or the Facebook page at Speeway Publications. Until next time, be mindful and be well.